The Holy Spirit is moving among us on this day of Pentecost, and it is my joy to welcome all of you into this time of worship as we celebrate the birth of the church and the renewal of the spirits of the followers of Jesus as the Holy Spirit came upon them in a fresh way on that day of Pentecost. Welcome to this time of worship. If you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, it is my joy to welcome you to this time together. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're especially glad that you're here and hope you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you as we gather this morning. I would invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. We have registration pads at the end of each row if you're here in the sanctuary. If you could sign those and pass them down and back again. And if you're joining us online, there should be a link in the chat you can click on to let us know that you're with us. I want to say a word of thanks to our Sunday school children who helped to make the doves that are part of our visual expression of Pentecost today, and also the flames that are along the columns down this way, and how they help us to experience in a visual way the power of Pentecost. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. We are beginning our Sunday school series this morning, and so it is open to everyone. Most of our adult classes are taking a break for the summer, and we all join together downstairs in McWhorter Hall for Sunday school. So I invite you to join us downstairs. It's a great way to meet some new folks and learn some new things. We wanted to let you know that our youth mission group landed safely in Alaska, and they are well on their way to experiencing Christ in new ways. So we're grateful for their witness on our behalf in that mission trip. We have Vacation Bible School coming up at the end of the month, and there are details in the bulletin about how you can register your children or register to volunteer. It's going to be a great week of learning together. There are all sorts of other announcements in the bulletin, on the website, and on the Friday e-news, so we hope that you'll stay well informed throughout the summer about ways that you can continue to grow and connect with one another. Such an exciting day in the life of the church, the day of Pentecost. So let us all open ourselves afresh to the movement of the Holy Spirit in this place, in our lives, and in our world.
Spirit. of worship.
God's Spirit was revealed in flaming glory. May Pentecost power and comfort flow. Let us sing a new song of worship. God's Spirit is moving in our midst, calling us, nudging us, inviting us to be more holy. Let us confess our sins together this day, that we might be reconciled to God and to one another and empowered for the living of our faith. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online this morning, you may do that in the chat or by sharing those greetings with people that are close to you this morning. And those of you that are in the sanctuary may do that in whatever ways feel most comfortable to you. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, the second book of Acts, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and the visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, it is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents of heaven above and signs of the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd love to spend some time with any of the children that are here in the sanctuary. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screen and we'll have a special minute together. If you're in the sanctuary, you got to come around this way like these guys are doing. Thank you for setting a good example. So we go all the way here and just have a seat up here. And I'll sit down in just a second to join you, but I want to make sure everybody can see me. Come on down. This is a very exciting day in the church. It's what we call the birthday of the church. Everybody loves a birthday, right? Well, come on down. Oh, so many people are here for the birthday party. Come on up and have a seat. So if you heard the story that Mr. Brandt just read, he talked about all the followers of Jesus were together in one place. We find out in the Bible there were about 120 people. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them, they all started to speak in different languages. I kind of wonder what that sounded like. So we are going to ask these grown-ups out here to help us. And you all need to participate fully for the sake of these children, right? So I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1. And when I say go, I'm going to ask all these grown-ups to say, "My name is," say your name, "I'm from," say the town you're from, "and my favorite food is," so when I, 3, 2, 1, "My name is Carol Cavan Dillon, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, my favorite food is pizza burgers." Okay, I'm going to turn my mic off, we got to do this louder, one more time. Good job. That was kind of hard to understand, though, wasn't it? It was a lot of noise. And on that day of Pentecost, it was so exciting because all 120 people were talking about the amazing things that God had done. But you know what's even more amazing? There were people who listened. There were people who could hear what they were saying and understand what they were talking about. I think that's a miracle, too. And it reminds me that one of the most important things we can do is to listen, and especially listen for God in our world, and listen to those people who want to teach us about love. So let's keep our ears open and our hearts open, and let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for this wonderful congregation who are willing to experiment and try new things to help us understand the stories in the Bible better. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that does such amazing things and helps us to feel your love and understand your love and share your love. Help us to be good listeners. Help us always especially to listen for your love in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon, great, to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with family or friends. We decided I better stand up here so I could see you all a little bit better. I love Pentecost. It's such an exciting story in the scriptures. It's such an exciting event to celebrate together in the life of the church. It gives us an opportunity to have some visual prompts that remind us of the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the symbols of the flames and the doves and all of these different ways that the Holy Spirit is conveyed to us in the scriptures. And we sing and we pray again and again, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. Just notice the different ways that we pray that prayer and sing that prayer in worship today. On that day of Pentecost, over 2,000 years ago, the followers of Jesus were gathered together in a room. And as Luke tells us at the beginning of Acts, there were about 120 of them. Jesus had told them after he ascended back into heaven to go there and wait. And sure enough, 50 days after he was raised from the dead, on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish festival, the Holy Spirit came pouring out upon all of them, and all of them were filled and began to speak in all the languages of the world. There are all sorts of miracles and wonders that are taking place in this moment. One of the powerful miracles is that these 120 people were suddenly speaking languages they'd never learned before. These 120 people were simple folk, uneducated, most likely illiterate Galileans. They would have been considered backwater folk by the city folk of Jerusalem. They were men and women, young and old. Some of them may have even been enslaved. We might have had among those folks not just the 11 apostles of Jesus, and not just those women we know about who followed Jesus, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of Jesus, but perhaps the woman Jesus had healed from her hemorrhage. Perhaps Zacchaeus was there, or maybe Bartimaeus, who'd been a blind beggar, a great diversity of people suddenly speaking with power and conviction about the great deeds of God. So that was one miracle that day. Another miracle is that of all the people there that day, it's Peter who stands up and begins to preach. Peter, who had told Jesus when he first met him, get away from me, Lord, I am a sinner. Peter, who was always impulsive and always the first to step out and get it wrong. Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times the night he was arrested. And yet here he is, filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of these thousands of strangers who were listening. But the miracle of this story that really drew my attention this time was the fact that with all of this noise and babble happening, there were people who listened. Even though this was a group of backwater, illiterate, mishmash, motley crew of folks, there were people who stopped and listened. Now, there were those who didn't listen. Luke tells us that some who saw this happening and said, man, those people are drunk on new wine. And they wrote them off. No way they could be saying anything of value, anything worth listening to. But for some reason, some perhaps work of the Holy Spirit, there were many who stopped and listened, and they heard in a language that each one of them could understand. about the miraculous works of God. What inspires me about this story is the miracle of listening. The power that comes when we listen. I have to wonder, if I had been there that day, would I have been one of the ones who wrote them off because of who they were or because of how they were acting, or there's no way that anything important could come from these folks? Nothing they can tell me. Or would I have been among those who stopped and heard the Holy Spirit, either through or in spite of the vessels the Spirit was speaking through? Am I a good listener? Would my ears have been burning on that day? As I think about this season in our life together as a world, I'm not sure we see very many examples of good listening. We hear a lot of talking. Social media is designed for us to proclaim things. I'm going to go tweet something. I'm going to go post it on Facebook. I'm going to go post it on Instagram. I'm going to tell the world what I think. There's not a lot of space for listening in the social media community. We turn on news shows and programs, and there are people who are invited into a conversation, and they're just talking at each other, and there's nobody listening. And we look at the way our politics are unfolding, and we see people getting into their camps and into their tribes. And I actually came up with a new word, although I'm sure someone else has thought of this, but our opinion poles, like the North Pole and the South Pole, how far they are from each other. You like that? I think I'm going to market that. Our opinion poles. And we get in our echo chambers, and we don't want to hear a different opinion. We don't want to hear from those people over there, and there's no way they have anything to tell us. I can't remember the last time I heard someone in that kind of format say, "You have a point." Are we perhaps invited as the people of God to be better listeners? To be able to look beyond the vessel that may be delivering the message, and to lean in and listen for the message. Because God has a habit of picking and working through the most unlikely people. From Jacob, who was a grasping, unlikable kind of guy, to Moses, who was a murderer with a speech impediment, to Ruth, who was a Moabite and a foreigner, to Jeremiah, who said, "I can't speak, God, I'm way too young." To Isaiah, who said, "I am a man of unclean lips, you can't speak through me." To Mary, a poor, young peasant woman who'd never stepped outside of Nazareth, most likely. God is constantly choosing unlikely, even unlikable vessels to speak God's word. And could it be that we are missing what God is trying to say to us and do among us because we refuse to listen to certain people, or refuse to listen at all? I can tell you two little examples from my own life, just the ones that popped up in my mind as I was working on this sermon. Many of you know that my first sort of call to ministry came in my sophomore year of college. And the person who said the words was my roommate, who was an atheist and just could barely tolerate organized religion at all. And one day, through a conversation we were having, she looked at me and said, "You know, I think you should be a minister." And thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit helped my heart resonate with that statement. A couple of seconds later, I laughed. Like, "Wow, you're saying that? But you don't even like the church." She's like, "I know, but if there's going to be a church, then you should be in it." Like, okay, thanks, I guess. I don't know. What an unlikely vessel to be the first person through whom God would speak to call me into ministry. Another example is a little more recent. I went to a funeral for someone. This was a couple of years ago. And it was in a church being led by a denomination that's very different from the Methodist Church. It's a denomination that would not ordain me as a woman. I loved this person. I loved the family. And of course, I was going to be at the service. But I sat down in the pew and just thought, oh boy, what's this going to be? And lo and behold, if the pastor leading that service did not speak straight into my heart and straight into my life, words that I needed in that moment, he didn't know I needed it, but the Holy Spirit did. And if I had closed myself off, if I had closed my ears because of all of my biases, I would have missed the movement of the Spirit. So my friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, when we see all of the different kinds of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and all speaking about the mighty works of God, let us remember that God can speak through us, as unlikely and unworthy as we might feel, and God can speak through anyone. So let us keep our eyes and ears open. May we be good listeners in our world. May we have the courage and the groundedness in God's love to lean in and listen for the voice of God, because we never know from whom that voice might come. Amen.
Response to the work of the Spirit in our lives and into that message, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith using number 883, Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice, resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life and death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, there should be gray cards in the pew rack in front of you, and you can place those cards in the offering plates as they get passed around this morning. This morning, we mourn alongside the family and friends of Mike Allen Irwin, who passed away on May 18th. Services were held May 31st at the West Harpeth Funeral Home. Among his survivors is his wife, West End member, Anna Lynn Walker Irwin. Dave and Heather Goodridge and their family are mourning the death of Dave's mother, Susan Goodridge, who passed away on May 20th in Hilton Head, South Carolina. She is survived also by her grandchildren, Wright and Margot Goodridge. Brooke Ackerley and her family are mourning the death of her brother, Peter Whitlock Ackerley, who passed away on May 23rd in Japan. Services were held there on May 31st. Sally Norton and her family are mourning the death of her brother, Dr. Walter Bill Hughley King Jr., who passed away on May 25th. Services were held in Lookout Mountain, Tennessee on Saturday, June 4th. Ruth Myers Nance Montfort, wife of former senior pastor Russ Montfort, passed away in Charlotte, North Carolina on Tuesday, May 31st. Services were held on June 4th at Providence United Methodist Church in Charlotte. And in a memorial service for Martha Ann Likens, who passed away on May 27th, will be held this Saturday, June 11th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary. Visitation in Reed Hall will precede the service, beginning at 1 p.m. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, who wants us to speak and understand one another, God of mystery, God of wind, of fire, and of surprise, sometimes it feels as if we say the same thing over and over again, not getting anywhere, wondering if we even speak the same language. Bring us understanding. Bring us fresh winds of your spirit. Light a spark so that we can be consumed by your love and hope for our lives. While we gather and worship joyfully here this morning, there are communities grieving the loss of loved ones from war, from mass shootings, acts of terror. Be with them in their grief and give us the will and wisdom to find paths towards peace and healing. Help us to be a friend to the lonely. Remind us to visit the sick. And remember those who have gone on to be with you in glory. Allow us to remember the example of Christ as we interact with the other, to embrace when others would exclude, to stand on the side of the oppressed, to walk the path of nonviolent resistance to unjust systems, and to always show the love of God in all that we do. God, we celebrate love in all of its forms, its expressions, relationships, and identities. For when we truly love, we echo the love you first showed us, no matter whom we love. I pray for the day when all couples in loving relationships feel safe to love out loud without fear of physical, spiritual, or emotional violence. And in these next few moments of silence, we give space for the individual yearnings of our hearts to be made known to you. God, we praise you for who you are, for the glory of the sunshine, for hearing our prayers, for gathering us this day. Strengthen us, build us up, and send us out from this place to do your will, as we carry the message and the fire from this place to show the world your amazing love. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who showed us love until the end, amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and feel led. For those of you worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, holy God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. When nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
You may be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. At his baptism in the Jordan, your Spirit descended upon him and declared him your beloved Son. With your Spirit upon him, he went into the wilderness to turn away from the temptations of sin. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, as on the day of Pentecost. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us who are gathered, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As the many grains are gathered together in one loaf, then broken and shared, so we are gathered, broken as we are, healed by Christ and shared with the world. And as the many grapes are gathered into the one cup, we too share the one cup of grace that is for us and for all. Our table is set, and on this day in particular, we celebrate the beautiful diversity of all the wonderful folks who gather around this table with us. That table includes you. If you are here, if you are not here, you are welcome at this table, for it belongs to Jesus Christ, and he is our host. If this is your first time receiving in this particular congregation, we will invite you, if you're able, to come forward down the center aisles. Our choir will be served first, followed by those in the balcony and transepts, and then those of us in the middle are invited to come find an open space at the altar rails and kneel if you are able, and stay as long as you would like after receiving and spend some time in prayer. All of the bread that we offer today is gluten-free. Also, if you are not able to come forward or you choose not to come forward, I will be coming around the sanctuary with some of our prepackaged elements of communion so that you can receive in that way. Every month we have an opportunity as we come to the communion table to make a gift to one of our missions of the congregation. And this month's communion offering will go toward prison ministry. We use this fund to provide holiday meals to inmates on death row and in medium security units at Riverbend, to help individuals with expenses once they transition out of prison, and to support prison ministries in many other ways. So we hope that if you are able to give today, you'll also say a prayer for those who are incarcerated. Let us come to this table of grace to be filled with the Holy Spirit that is offered to us all. Now, filled with the Holy Spirit, will you stand as you are able and join with me in giving thanks for what we have received? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. May we go from this place with eyes, ears, and hearts open. The Holy Spirit is at work in us and all around us. May we be surprised this day by the Spirit. Amen.